Welcome to the Gifting Office of the Public Guardian podcast. My name is Laura and I work in the communications team. Thank you for choosing to listen. I'm here today with Julie Smith and Phil Oakley. If you'd like to introduce yourselves.
Thanks, Laura, and hi, Julie. I'm Phil and I'm based in the contact centre, the OPG.
Hi, Laura. My name's Julie Smith. I'm the delivery manager for triage and investigations at OPG.
Lovely, thank you. So this is a first of a mini-series we're doing on how to be a good attorney or deputy. We will be sharing important information, tips, and the most common areas people tend to get it wrong when acting on behalf of a loved one. It's important to note that this is only relevant for those who are acting in a financial way. So if you have a finance and property lasting power of attorney or a finance and property court order. Throughout this podcast, we will also be referring to the person who took out the lasting power of attorney as the donor, and those who are acting on their behalf as the attorney or the deputy. We're starting with gifting in this mini-series, going over what you can and can't do and what is considered a gift. So my first question is, what is a gift?
Good question, Laura. Are you okay if I go here, Julie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. So gifts cover like a wide range of things. So let me just read some things that could potentially be classed as gifts. And they are things like donations to charities, paying for school fees, maybe living rent-free, you know, or a reduced rate in the property that belongs to the donor, selling the donor's home at a reduced rate, creating a trust for someone from the donor's property, giving somebody an interest-free loan, as well as the obvious things like cash and physical gifts that you might give to somebody.
Okay, that's good. It's a good, interesting list there. Some things you might not necessarily consider to be a gift. So who can give gifts?
Well, as part of the Mental Capacity Act, the donor should always be consulted before decisions are made and included in the decision as much as possible. And if the donor has mental capacity, then it is their decision. So if the donor has fluctuating capacity, then you'll want to consult them at the best possible time. Make sure they understand the request. And you can find out more information on how to assess if someone has the ability to make these decisions or how best to involve them in the decision-making process in Chapter 4 of the Mental Capacity Act Code of Practice. Now, remember as well, something important is that an unwise decision doesn't mean the donor doesn't have capacity to make that decision. So the donor may have always done something that you disapproved of, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have the capacity to make that decision. And if the donor doesn't have mental capacity, then it's the attorney or deputy's decision whether to make the gift. And there you really need to be considering if it's in the donor's best interest giving gifts.
Okay, thank you. So when can we actually give these gifts to people?
Okay, so the law states that you may give gifts on a customary occasion. And they're things like, you know, like weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, graduations, civil partnerships, on occasions that are specific to that individual. It also includes occasions where, you know, a gift giving is customary, such as Christmas, Eid, Diwali, Hanukkah, Chinese New Year. Those are occasions like that. And gifts can be given to friends, family, or close acquaintances on those sort of customary occasions. Something as well to probably mention is that, you know, donations to a charity would also be considered to be a gift.
Cool. So if I'm acting on behalf of someone and I want to kind of give out gifts to people, you know, I kind of want to make sure that I'm giving them something that's reasonable within that person's like budget. So what would be classed as sort of a reasonable gift?
Okay, Laura, if I can cover this one.
Yeah.
You'll need to look closely at the donor's finances. Any gift given should not impact on their ability to be able to pay for their care for the rest of their life and should be comfortably affordable, and this can vary from person to person. But for instance, if the donor is gifting, if the attorney wants to gift a grandchild £100 for their birthday, if the donor only had £1,000 in their bank accounts, and to gift that grandchild £100, that would have a greater impact on the donor. If, say, the donor had £100,000 in their bank accounts, £100 would not have a severe impact. So you need to make sure that the donor can afford it and can afford that their comfortable life for the rest of their life.
That's great, thank you.
So in that instance, what would be considered an unreasonable gift?
Okay, so if on the LPA, the donor has given instructions and preferences around gifts, so anything that goes against the wishes of the donor is not a reasonable gift. Some example include unaffordable items such as substantial amounts of money, lavish gifts such as designer clothes or accessories, expensive cars and holidays. You should not give gifts if this can have a serious impact on the quality of life of the donor in the future, or that the donor would not have done if they had capacity to make decisions. If the donor didn't usually give gifts on customary occasions, then this should continue, even if you don't agree with the decision, like Phil said about the unwise decision. If you want to gift a substantial amount of money or some assets, you may need to apply to the Court of Protection for approval. Thinking about some examples. So if our donor, let's say, is called Jerome, usually is quite generous when giving gifts. There's a special occasion coming up. It's his niece's 18th birthday, and he was insistent on giving a substantial amount of money when she reached 18. However, Jerome has since lost capacity and has a long life expectancy in a care home. His brother is acting as his attorney and decides that it wouldn't be in Jerome's best interest to give anything to make sure his current savings can continue to cover his care for as long as possible. That needs to be in Jerome's best interests.
Okay, thank you. That's really, really interesting, actually. So even if, you know, your relatives are generous, you should definitely kind of look at their finances and what is affordable in the long term, not just necessarily there and then. So yes, that's really helpful.
Yeah.
So you kind of mentioned a little bit earlier that you might need to apply to the Court of Protection if you want to gift like a substantial amount of money or something. But what should someone consider and think about, and when would they need to apply to the Court of Protection?
So if you can answer yes to any of these questions that I'm going to say now, you don't need permission from the Court of Protection to give a gift. So is the gift to someone related to or connected with the person, or to a charity they might normally have given to? So if that's a yes, then you wouldn't need to get permission from the court. If the gift is to a person, is it being made on a customary occasion, their birthday, Christmas and the like? Then if that's a yes, then no need to get permission from the court. Is the gift of a reasonable value, given the size of the person's estate and their expected future needs? So if you answer no to any of these, you may need to apply for approval from the court.
Okay, thank you. That was a good little list to consider when thinking about gifting. So what happens if I've decided to, or maybe I already have, given a gift which might be considered inappropriate or a little bit more than what I should have? What would happen then?
So if you've given a substantial gift to someone, or have used the donor's money yourself as a gift, there are a few possible outcomes. OPG may investigate you and your actions, and that's part of my team's responsibility. So if somebody has concerns about your actions and reports that to us, and we've got jurisdiction to act, then we will investigate you and your actions. We may ask you to pay back the money or return the gifts. You may need to seek retrospective approval from the Court of Protection for the gift. Or if we feel that you've done this and it's not in the best interest of the donor, we may apply to the court to get you removed as an attorney or a deputy. For more information on gift giving, including loans, giving gifts to yourself, and when you need to go to the Court of Protection for approval, look at our guidance on gov.uk/OPG.
Okay, cool. Thank you to Julie and Phil for volunteering to be on this podcast around gifting. We hope you found it informative. You can get in touch with us on 0300 456 0300 or email us at customerservices@publicguardian.gov.uk.
You can also get in touch via Facebook by searching for Office of the Public Guardian. We're on Twitter, you can find us at opggovuk, and you can also find us on LinkedIn.